What is going on, Tan and J-Man Show Nation? It's Monday night. It's May 12th, 2025. And if you're watching live on the ISC Sports Network, the Tan and J-Man Show Facebook page, or the ISC Sports Network, or the Tan and J-Man Show YouTube channels, you see that I am not joined by Josh the J-Man Month this week. I am joined by my father, Eric Lee. Dad, thanks for filling in and filling the J-Man shoes this week.
Yeah, you're welcome. Glad to join you.
It's been a little while. I mean, You're not a stranger of the show, but it has been a little while since we've had you on. But we got a lot to talk about tonight. That's for sure.
It's always busy in sports.
I mean, we got NBA playoffs going on. We're really close to knowing who's going to be in the conference finals for the Eastern and Western Conference. We got MLB hot and heavy in the month of May. PGA Championship coming up, the second of the four majors for the PGA Tour coming up this weekend at Quail Hollow. And then we got some NFL schedule release news today. We know three games that have been released. I believe there's another one or two that are going to be released tonight, a few more tomorrow, then the full slate on Wednesday. It's kind of interesting how they're doing it this year, but the NFL's king. So they like to get their eyeballs on their product at all times. So, and then also the NBA draft lottery is taking place tonight, and you got some thoughts and discussion on that as well. But first, I brought some birdie or bogey trivia with me tonight, and the J-Man can't get a birdie or bogey off of you. That we're not counting that. So, and I wouldn't have gave him this question, but since you like to golf, you're a big golf fan, it's PGA Championship week. Yeah, PGA Championship related birdie or bogey question for you. There's been five international players to have won multiple PGA Championships in their career. I'm going to tell you one. One's Jim Barnes in the year 1916-1919.
Well, that's the one I knew. Okay.
The other four have been since 1960. Can you name those four players to have won multiple PGA Championships since 1960?
PGA, okay. I like it.
Yes. Yes. So I know I wouldn't have been able to do this probably. Golf's always hard for me, but I still would take it over some other categories. But the birdie or bogey question is brought to you by this week, like it is every week, by Arlington Public House. Looking at their Facebook page, it looked like the Arlington Public House had a Mother's Day dinner over the weekend. They had lobster bites, sun-dried tomato pesto tortellini, steak medallions, chicken Florentine, chocolate chip brownie a la Mode, I believe is how you pronounce it. All sounds real good. All looks good, as does their menu at all times. And if you want to enjoy some upscale cuisine and cocktails made with a casual atmosphere, they're located at 703 Main Street in Rochester, Indiana, and they're opened from Thursday through Saturday. Thursday's 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. Then Friday's 4 p.m. to 10 p.m., as is Saturday, 4 p.m. to 10 p.m. So go check them out if you're in Rochester, Indiana, surrounding area. You won't be disappointed. So, let's talk about the NFL schedule news that came out today. Like I said, the whole release is going to be out Wednesday. Everybody knew that. But it started with on the Today Show this morning. They announced the season opener, which no surprise, this defending Super Bowl champion always hosts a season opener, unless it's the year 2013, if you recall, the Baltimore Ravens played at the Denver Broncos because the Orioles were in the playoffs.
Okay.
Or not the playoffs. There was some schedule conflict. But anyways, every other year, it's normally the defending champions hosting somebody, and that's the case this year. The Philadelphia Eagles are hosting their division rival, the Dallas Cowboys, to kick off the year. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I looked through the eight. I guess the Eagles only have eight home games this year. You know, they play 17, so they must have nine road games. I figured they wouldn't take their number one game and play it right away. Cowboys, I guess, made sense. I thought it might have been the Commanders, you know, because they were in the NFC Championship last year, but Cowboys are probably a bigger draw. Not that you need help with a draw on your first game of the year, but wasn't too shocked, I guess.
I don't know if I like division games right out the bat for anybody.
Yeah, a lot of the teams play division games week one now. You know, they all do on the last week of the year, but I agree. I just hope it's one of Dallas's games so that, you know, we don't have whether everybody gets a certain amount of games, right, in the national primetime.
Yes.
So that's one done. You know, yeah, we're going to get as many as Dallas can have. So
yeah, they'll get the maximum, which is, I believe, six is the maximum you can be originally scheduled for. Then, of course, you can be flexed into more.
Yeah.
But I believe it's six. Another one that's rumored but hasn't been officially announced is the Friday night game is supposedly going to be the Chargers and the Chiefs, and that's an international game. I believe that's in Mexico or okay. Brazil. I should probably know that since I'm talking about it.
Last year it was in South America, right?
Yeah, so maybe it's Mexico this year. But the other two that have been officially announced, this was dropped by Fox an hour ago. Week 16 doubleheader, which week 16, it's Saturday, December 20th for this doubleheader. Eagles at Commanders, Packers at Bears.
Okay. A couple big divisional games there.
Yep.
Couple long-time rivalries.
Yep. So let's see if I can find where the Chiefs-Chargers game's rumored at here.
Why do you think they released these other games already?
It is in Brazil. I'm glad I looked that up. Brazil. Okay. And that was reported yesterday on Yahoo Sports. Mm. So I think they're pretty credible. So I just think it's – I think the NFL is letting some of these networks that are showing the – letting some of their network – their partner networks reveal some of their bigger games. So I believe there's one more tonight. I believe Amazon Prime will release one of the Thursday night games.
Okay.
And then tomorrow we'll find out the international games, which a lot of those are, I mean, we know half of them already. And then I think, let me see here. There, I think ESPN and CBS announce a couple tomorrow as well.
I did see that Peacock is going to have a game on the 27th. I think that's the Saturday after Christmas of December. That'll be the fourth Peacock game where you can't get it unless you're a subscriber to Peacock.
Yeah.
But they didn't announce who it was.
Oh, this account, there's an account on Twitter. His handle's Aussie, but he's been spot on with all the scheduled news so far. He's got a few more on here that haven't been announced yet. He's got two more. According to him, the Eagles, again, will host the Bears on November 28th, Black Friday, on Prime Video.
Okay.
The Chiefs will host the Denver Broncos on Christmas night on Prime Video. Great. Chiefs can ruin my Christmas yet again.
Well, at least it's in the evening. Most of the stuff will already be, you had already received by then.
And if that's true, then that's two primetime games the Broncos have because they're rumored to be playing in London week six against the Jets.
Okay.
As a Jets home game. So they supposedly wanted to play the Colts in Germany. Rumor has it the Colts blocked it somehow. I don't know. And the Colts are supposedly going to play the Falcons in Germany. I mean, we'll find out tomorrow. That's what the rumor mill's saying. So.
They have to alternate some of these international games, don't they? Other than Jacksonville is always tied in to playing.
Correct. Everybody else has to host one every now and again.
Because with 17 games now, you hope to – you basically could have a lot of teams playing eight home, eight away, and one neutral, but it counts as a home game for one of them and not for the other. So, you know, hopefully it gets to someday where all teams have eight home games and – you know, that'd be ideal. Eight away games and one neutral game.
Yeah. So it's interesting. Like I said, whatever the NFL touches is gold. They're always in the news. You got rookie minicamp going on right now. Everybody's making a big deal about Shedeur Sanders passes in practice. It's kind of laughable.
I was hearing some talk about that, wondering if the Saints were upset that they didn't offer or draft Shedeur now because of
Derek Carr's retiring.
Derek Carr retiring, but they had a chance and they went with the kid from Louisville.
Yes.
Who's what, 26 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if they were high on Shedeur, they would have got him.
There's conspiracies out there that the Saints are trying to tank for Arch next year, assuming Arch has a good year and comes out in the draft. That's all premature talk. There's some conspiracies out there.
Yeah, and we really know very little about Arch. You know,
he's played a handful. Not against us. We'll find out a lot about him this year. So,
yeah.
He's got the pedigree, 100%, but.
He does.
We'll see.
He does.
We'll see. Any other NFL thoughts before we switch course here?
No. I mean, we're still waiting to see if Pittsburgh's going to sign a quarterback. And then
it's got to be Rodgers, right? I mean, they would have drafted one, I would think, before they did. If Rodgers was giving them any
they got Will
Howard. I got to think there's been enough conversations behind the scenes. They're pretty confident. Now, why he hasn't already, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I suppose once you play 20-some years in the league, you can kind of dictate what you're doing. But
yeah. They traded George Pickens away.
So. Yeah. Yeah, they were going to have quite a receiving group of Pickens and Metcalf, mm-hmm. but those two guys that need the ball mm-hmm. every play or they're not happy. So maybe Rodgers will be more he might get in there now knowing he doesn't have two diva receivers, just one.
Well, now I don't know if CD Lamb's a diva, but I mean
– he can be.
But he wants the ball a lot, so now Dak Prescott's got to put up with that. So
you ideally you'd want someone like Puka Nacua who just balls out, you know.
Cooper Kupp now in Seattle.
Or McLaren for the Commanders, you know, just good solid wide receivers who don't have the ball 42 times.
Yep. Cortland Sutton, even though a lot of people argue he's not a wide receiver one, but and there was that game against the Saints, he didn't even have a target. He didn't care.
Yeah.
Broncos won, so he just wanted to make the playoffs. So
right. Yeah. That's the important thing.
Yep. Yeah. But it'll be interesting. It's NFL schedule release is always fun because then people can start making their plans on what games they might want to go to. Like, for instance, I'm happy that the Broncos aren't playing the Colts in Germany because I want to go to that game if mm-hmm. my schedule allows it. So I didn't think I was going to be able to. So now might be able to.
I suppose Washington will get more national games this year. Denver will probably get a couple.
Maybe a couple. Yeah.
You know, just teams that kind of made the rise last year up. And then some teams you typically would think the Cowboys would be down, but.
Yeah, they're always going to get them and the Bears. Sorry, Bear fans. You guys get max prime time games every year.
Yeah. Jets.
Packers. Even though, I mean, Packers are usually pretty good, but, you know, there's some teams that just comes with the terror. Steelers. It just comes with the territory. Like for instance, Colts probably won't have many.
No.
Titans won't have many. That whole division probably won't have many. Even the Texans.
I agree. Nobody really wants to watch the Texans and the Jaguars on Sunday Night Football. So
no.
That's why the Jaguars are usually their one games on Thursday night, you know.
Yep. Browns.
Yeah.
Let's watch Browns.
Well, with Shedeur, they'll keep an eye on
him. If he plays, we don't know. Yeah. There's four quarterbacks there vying for roster spots.
Yeah. Right now I bet he's no better than third string, but we'll see.
Seattle with Sam Darnold. Nothing against Sam Darnold, but I mean it's
Yeah, there's certain teams. Titans, even though they got the number one pick.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. So it'll be interesting. Yeah. But NBA, like we said, playoffs are going on. But you wanted to talk a little bit about the draft lottery. And I got the odds up here for the draft lottery. There's three teams tied for the top percentages. Utah Jazz, who had the worst record at 1765. The Wizards 1864, and the Hornets, 1963. Then you have the Pelicans with a 12.5% chance, the Sixers, 10.5% chance, Nets with 9, Raptors with 7.5, Spurs with 6, Rockets via the Suns, 3.8%, Trailblazers, 3.7%, Mavericks, 1.8%, Bulls, 1.7%, Kings, 0.8%, and Spurs, again, via the Hawks, 0.7%.
Yeah, yeah. You know, there's always been some scuttlebutt about the NBA dictating certain years who goes where. There's the famous frozen ping pong ball for Patrick Ewing just happened to go the Knicks, the Pacers, or the Knicks. You know, and people are saying there's a conspiracy that the ping pong ball was frozen in there for the Knicks and he went in and grabbed it. I mean, there's a couple other
instances. I got a couple others.
LeBron went to Cleveland.
Derrick Rose to the Bulls.
Chicago. Yeah.
When they had I think they had the least chance to get it. And, you know, he's from Chicago. When the NBA had the rights to the Pelicans, they get Anthony Davis.
Yeah. Well, here's my – if this happens, here – you know, the chances are only 1.7%. But this year was the big Luka trade from Dallas to L.A. And you think, huh, the ratings were tremendously down. Lakers are the most popular team. Luka's probably one of the three or four most popular players. He goes there. What if there was a little side thing? Yeah, you can get Anthony Davis, and we'll just happen to give you
Cooper Flagg.
First pick, and you get Cooper Flagg. So
yeah.
Then you start looking at the trade and say Cooper Flagg and Anthony Davis plus, you Luca. Know, Christie and stuff like that. Now you're probably saying, yeah, we'll take that trade. You know, we have two overall number one draft picks for Luka Doncic. So if somehow miraculously it goes from 1.3% to where Dallas gets it, I'm thinking that could be a conspiracy.
Oh, that'll be headline tomorrow.
Yeah,
absolutely. A few other teams would be interesting that aren't way up there in the odds if they got them. If the Spurs, who have two chances, get them.
Yeah.
Because they got Victor Wobbly, right. I can't say his name. And, you know, they were good for so long. Now Popovich is officially retired. NBA's probably like, we like it better when the Spurs are pretty good.
And you get that Stephon Castle, who had a heck of a rookie year. Now, all of a sudden, Spurs would be one of the top teams.
Yep.
And there's already speculation that Giannis
that
would be one of his destinations. So,
and the Rockets at 3.8% because they were the two seed this year and they're young. And so, all the teams we're talking about are from the state of Texas.
Yeah.
I mean, because
the only other big media driven team is the Bulls, and they've been kind of silent for a decade now. As far as being, they're always just in the play-in game or as an 8 seed or whatever. NBA probably could benefit from having a good, powerful team in the Midwest.
Well, how about on the East Coast, Sixers or Nets?
Well, we've seen that Sixers drama go time and time again. And
the Nets have been trash for a while now, and ever since they moved to Brooklyn, really.
And Cooper, he's from Maine, right?
Yeah, I believe you're right. I mean, the Jazz, Wizards, Hornets, he could ignite some fire to that fan base. But other than that, who cares?
Yeah. One other interesting little draft thing I just now read is Ace Bailey, who played for Rutgers. You know, all year, 6'10", power forward, shorter. Ace Bailey, 6'7.5".
Yep, without shoes. Still had a 7-foot wingspan and a 8'11" standing reach, which is pretty crazy. But that stuff, it cracks me up every year. There's always a few guys that are near as tall as they were built at. And, you know, as a Purdue fans, I guarantee you Braden Smith next year when he goes through it, he won't be 6 foot.
No, he's probably 5'9.5", something like that. That can affect your draft status, though, even though you know everything on tape, but there is a big difference between being 6'10 and 6'7.5.
Can affect an NFL too, and hand size for quarterbacks, things like that. It's
right.
pretty wild.
But yeah, the NBA tonight, what do you have? The Celtics and the
Celtics-Knicks.
Knicks, yeah, game four. I think whoever wins tonight's game will win the series. The Celtics are, to me, of the eight teams left, of everybody in the NBA, all 30 teams, the Celtics are a different breed. They, you know, they have the best starting five, I believe, and then they even have the sixth man of the year in Peyton Pritchard. But, you know, if they lose tonight, down 3-1, watch out, you know.
I text a friend of mine who's in the pro wrestling podcast world with me. I'll give him a shout out. He might be watching, JPJ, who lives out in the Boston area. I text him today. I said, big game tonight. And he won't even mind that I say this. Typical Boston sports fan. Very confident, said, I'm feeling another 20-point win coming tonight.
Yeah.
Even when they got down 2-0, he's Celtics and six. He just didn't waver confidence.
Yeah, the Knicks have a nice starting five, though. I mean, Brunson has become a legitimate top 15 player in the league. And then Anunoby, and of course, we know him through Indiana. I never thought he would be as impactful as he is. And Karl Anthony Towns is a great scorer. Mikal Bridges, you know, they got that Villanova stuff going on with Josh Hart. Of course, they got rid of Dante DiVincenzo.
Mm-hmm.
But the Knicks are a good team, but I just can't see them beating Boston four times.
I just can't stand the fact, even though, and we'll talk about this in a bit, assuming the Pacers can finish off the Cavaliers being up 3-1, it would be fun to ignite that rivalry again and a rematch from last year with the Knicks-Pacers, ignite that rivalry mm-hmm. from the 90s. But their fan base and the East Coast biased media is so hard to stomach.
Yeah,
I'd rather lose to the Celtics if I'm a Pacer fan, which I guess I do consider myself a Pacer fan, even though I don't really follow the NBA that closely.
Yeah, since I'm recently retired, you know, I watch sports shows in the morning, but I won't watch ESPN right now.
Yeah,
it's so. And by the way, some of their commentators, I don't know why they have to say outlandish things all the time, but Jay Williams and Kendrick Perkins are both on my last nerve. So either one of them's on.
Charles Barkley gave his piece of his thoughts on Kendrick Perkins last week on Dockage's show. So
did he?
Yeah, he not a big Kendrick Perkins fan, and Barkley pretty much said he's not changing who he is when they go to ESPN. He said they're paying me too much money for me to get fired. He goes, I'm just trying to figure out if I want to work 2 to 3 more years. If they fire me early, I get paid the next 7.
Yeah.
So I just gotta love Charles. He's not gonna change who he is.
And the recency bias is crazy. Did you see where Jay Williams last week called Jalen Brunson the greatest Knick of all time? He's the GOAT. And I'm thinking, are you kidding me? I mean, of course, you're too young to remember Bernard King, but Patrick Ewing.
Well,
Clyde Frazier, Willis Reed, Earl the Pearl Monroe. Jalen hasn't got him to the conference finals yet. I mean, he's a good player. It's not his fault that you got idiots out here.
Yeah.
He might be one of the top 10 Knicks ever, but
he's probably better than Carmelo Anthony, who's one of the better ones I'd put up there.
I didn't even think of Carmelo. You know, 28,000 points. That's
But Carmelo's not even the best Nugget to wear to number 15, Dad.
No. Yeah, and the Joker has struggled against Oklahoma City.
Yeah. They probably should have stole that game yesterday. And I say stole because they shot the ball so poorly getting down 12 points. But
in Oklahoma City has not been super impressive.
No.
The whole West is just wide open.
Of
course, Minnesota looked great against the Lakers, but Golden State's got nobody. You know, without Steph, they just don't have any offense.
They got the dirtiest basketball player in the last 20 years.
The last 50 years, maybe. I mean, I don't know how that guy doesn't get thrown out every game.
He's got some Rodman in him, but I think Rodman was a nicer person, like, to the media than Draymond. Draymond's just mean.
Draymond is an idiot, and he makes him unlikable.
He does.
Everybody likes Steph Curry.
He does.
I always liked Klay Thompson, too. You know, I always liked the Warriors, but
you a Steve Kerr fan?
I think he's a good coach. He gets a little too political.
A little whiny at times.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, when Golden State had Durant, and, you know, they were fun to watch. You know, they were loaded. But yeah.
Who do you like tonight to win these two games?
I think the Celtics get it, and I think the Timberwolves get it. The Timberwolves, though, they rely – it's funny, in the playoffs, it seems like every team's best two players take 70% of the shots. So Anthony Edwards, he's been putting up 25 to 30 shots. He's only hitting like 41% in the playoffs. Shea Alexander's only hitting like 41%. Brunson, you know, the defense gets a little tougher. I can't figure out how some of these guys in the NBA aren't getting any shots. You know, the third and fourth best players, just like the Lakers, you know, Luka and LeBron took all the shots. And that's not a real recipe for – Boston has a lot of guys take shots. The problem is they take bombs. And if they're not hitting them, what were they, 15 for 60, one game from three, and 10 for 40? That's
yeah, they shot 100 threes, yeah, in two games.
You know, if they hit 27 instead of 25, they win both those games, but they didn't. So, but I think Boston, I think Minnesota, I think the Pacers are going to finish out Cleveland.
Cleveland's banged up now.
Yeah. But even when they were healthy, Pacers stealing game two was the big one.
And the Pacers are hitting shots. And their scoring is spread out pretty good.
And Gainbridge is becoming a real home court advantage.
Yeah. That's crazy. I still don't like these city jerseys in the floor. That's not my style, but
yeah.
But it's a raucous environment for sure.
And I expect Oklahoma City to take care of Denver. Yep. Denver needed yesterday.
Yep.
I don't think
they can get another one on the road. They might be able to get game six at home and make a seven-game series. Yeah. But
in Denver needs the game to come down to the wire. You know, Oklahoma City can blow them out. I mean, Oklahoma City is going to be good for a decade if they can keep these guys. I said that, though, 15 years ago when they had Harden, Durant, and Westbrook.
Yeah.
And they couldn't keep them together because that's not a great city for nightlife and stuff is Oklahoma, you know. So they locked
in to get an NBA team. If you remember, it was the whole Hurricane Katrina thing when the Hornets had to move out there. That was kind of their trial run. And then the NBA decided to just screw over the city of Seattle and take the Sonics to Oklahoma City and rename them the Thunder.
They're probably I would think they're the smallest city in the NBA.
Is Oklahoma City bigger than Salt Lake City?
That's a good question. I would say Salt Lake's probably bigger.
They have hosted Olympics there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there aren't too many mountains in Oklahoma City for them to have the Winter Olympics.
No. Well, that's why I'm saying. I mean, I'm sure your city's got to be – there's got to be a threshold of how big it's got to be to host Olympics.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm with you guys. Seattle's got to be the next NBA.
Yeah, I've been on that train for a while. Seattle and Vegas, then you and put them both in the West, of course. Then you move the Grizzlies to the East.
Yeah, that makes too much sense.
If you don't move the Grizzlies, then Minnesota's the next one. Minnesota's further west than Memphis.
Yeah, it's got to be Memphis.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah. But they don't ask me. I mean, what other cities? So, say it's not Seattle or Vegas. It's one of the two, but they're going to bring another city. What other city could it even possibly be?
St. Louis has always struggled.
Yeah.
You know, football, they're a great baseball town, good hockey town, but they lost the Rams. They used to have an ABA team, and they actually had an NBA team in the 50s, the Hawks, before they moved to Atlanta.
Can't see Kansas City getting a team again.
No, they had.
Can't see Cincinnati getting a team.
Austin, Texas is a booming city now.
You already got three teams in that state.
Well, there's a lot of people in Texas.
I know.
But those would probably be the quote-unquote Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Because they do have the other three major sports. But
yeah.
I think you're pretty well covered by the
– Nashville?
Maybe a 10.
But you do have Memphis. It's probably not big enough state to have two.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Yeah. I think that's coming within the next 3 to 5 years.
Yeah. I think the NBA could go two more teams.
Or do they they go back north the border and give Canada another team again.
Yeah, I don't know.
It didn't work for Vancouver for some reason.
No.
But it's worked for Toronto. But baseball and basketball are down in just Toronto. Of course, NHL, you have a lot up there.
Right. Montreal would be the one, I suppose, as far as.
Do you think the NFL will ever get a Canadian team?
I don't.
No. You think they'll get London? They'd get a team in London before they would Canada?
Yeah. Yeah, I think in the NFL, Buffalo is kind of
yeah, that's true.
The Canadian team, you know, they actually, one year they played a game or two in Toronto, maybe a couple years back when they were prior to Josh Allen when they stunk.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So, interesting. So you already said the series is you. So you think it's going to be the Western Conference is going to be Oklahoma City versus Minnesota?
I do.
And then the Celtics and the Pacers.
I do.
Okay. Which would be a rematch.
Cavaliers are a good team, a really good team. But
it's interesting that we're talking about this because I feel like the NBA is showing off a lot of parity. But if all those results happen that you just mentioned, we have three of the same four teams in the conference finals back-to-back years.
And Dallas blew up their team.
Yeah.
You know, and injuries. Kyrie getting hurt, sure. You know. With Anthony Davis. And Kyrie, I mean, they could have been a legitimate contender in the West. Yeah. It was funny, and I think Josh mentioned it the other day, the difference between being the 3 seed and the 8 seed in the West was only 2 games. It's like they were all the same. And nobody really believed in Houston. They were just too young, and they don't have shooters. They're going to be a good athletic team if they could get, you know, a Cooper Fly or just, you know, somebody who can put the ball in the hole, they're
good at defense. So
absolutely.
And I think one of my 25 bold predictions for 2025 was the Thunder winning the title this year. So, a lot of people might say, well, that wasn't very bold. I made it in January at the beginning of January. So,
well, didn't they finish 68-14?
Yeah. They were pretty good.
There's only been three teams ever win more than 68 games.
Yeah.
The Bulls, the Warriors, and I think somebody was 69-13. I think it was the year the Lakers won 33 in a row in the early 70s.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. Well, this is going to be Tanner's book of prediction of the week since J-Man's not here to do his book it. I think the Pacers close it out tomorrow night. In Cleveland and win the series in 5 games. I thought if they won the series, it'd be 7.
Yeah.
But, or at least 6. But I think they get it done in 5. I just think the Cavaliers, I mean, like I said, they're injured. And I mean, they're down 44 points at halftime yesterday.
Well, you know, though, if they don't win game 5, game 6 is humongous.
You don't want to go back to Cleveland game 7.
No.
But the J-Man's Book of Prediction of the Week is brought to you by, like it is every week, Travis Watchman Insurance Agency. Travis is a multi-line agent for Indiana Farm Bureau Insurance, specializing in home, auto, life, and renter's insurance. He can also do annuities and much, much more. Give Travis a call today at 219-869-4561. Well, you want to get educated, Dad?
Throw it at me.
Let's learn about some sporting events that have happened on May 12th. I got the list up, but haven't looked at it yet today. Let's see here. Got to get the right tab open here. All right. The Preakness is going on this weekend, we should say, because I see a lot of Preakness here.
You okay?
But I'm not going to ask you any Preakness. Don't worry.
I appreciate that.
I would say 1955, Chicago Cubs Sam Toothpick Jones became the first African-American to pitch a no-hitter in a 4-0 win over the Pittsburgh Pirates at Wrigley Field.
I'd never heard that before.
I would say 1966, St. Louis's original Busch Memorial Stadium opened in a 4-3 win for the Cardinals over the Braves in 12 innings. On this day, 1970, Ernie Banks, a.k.a. Mr. Cub, hit his 500th career home run.
I saw it.
You saw it?
on TV.
Oh, I thought you meant you were there.
When it actually happened. And Jack Brickhouse, he would always do that. It landed like in the first row. It was barely over.
Hey, it's over. That's all that counts. That's all that matters. On this day in 1973, who won the sixth ABA championship?
73. Kentucky Colonels?
They lost 4-3 to the Indiana Pacers.
Okay.
On this day, 1974, who won the 28th NBA championship?
74 is Celtics.
Celtics beat who 4-3?
I got two guesses. I think it was the... I can't remember what year they beat the Suns. That might have been 76. 4-3. Was it the Bucks?
It was the Bucks. How's that? How? How?
They moved. They were in the West. They moved into the East.
Jeez. Oh. On this day, 1979, Chris Everett's 125 match winning streak on clay came to an end.
Wow.
That's a lot of matches in a row.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Although I've never lost on clay.
Me neither. On this day in 2013, this is when the Players' Championship was still being played in May, Tiger Woods won his second Players' Championship, 2 strokes ahead of David Lingmuth, Jeff Maggart, and Kevin Streelman.
Not exactly a murderer's row in second.
Was not.
Is that the year he made that putt better than most?
No, that was... He made another good one that day, but the better most was...
Because he won 2000. The Players. He won the Players twice.
This was his second one. This was his second one.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's going to do it for on this day. I thought we'd get more championships or something.
Yeah, the NBA used to finish up by Mother's Day, and then... The PGA has just recently been moved to May. So
that's a good point. Good point. So, and that is the On This Day segment, which is brought to you by Like It As Every Week, Moody Woodcrafts. Moody Woodcrafts is a veteran owned and operated woodcraft shop based out of Texas with Indiana grassroots. They provide 100% hand cut custom designs to fit your needs, and their pieces are a great addition to any home, office, or man cave. You can see some of their recently completed projects by visiting them at Moody Woodcrafts on Instagram and on Facebook. And if you let them know the Tan Jamin Show sent you, you get 15% off your first sign order. And if you go to their Facebook or Instagram, you can see some of the Mother's Day designs that Thad did over the weekend or prior to the weekend for Mother's Day gifts. So good stuff. Not too early to start thinking about Father's Day. After Father's Day, it's not too early to start thinking about Christmas. Yes, it'll be here before we know it.
Good children need to spend a lot of money on their fathers for Father's Day.
Yes, I figured that comment or something similar was coming. So kind of teed it up for you there. all right. It is PGA Championship Week at Quail Hollow. Quail Hollow had it back in 2017 when Justin Thomas won his first of 2 PGA Championships. Quail Hollow usually it's just the... what used to be the Wells Fargo Championship. Now it's the Truett Championship, which was played at the Philadelphia, Cricket Club?
Yeah.
Yesterday or over the weekend. That's all Straka win. But the PGA Championship is always a fun one. Like you said, it's been moved to May in recent years.
Right.
Do you like that better in May compared to August?
I kind of like it in August. Just because, what was the old CBS Last Chance for Glory or something like that? They used to advertise. Now they have what, the Players in March, Masters, PGA in May,
U.S. Open
June, and
then the Open,
and then they go to the playoffs,
FedEx, and then you got either Ryder Cup or President's Cup,
right?
So, which a big event every month, clear through September.
And the reason I think they do it that way is they don't want to compete as much with the NFL in the fall. You know, whereas a PGA would be fine, but if the playoffs were in the fall, that they wouldn't get any ratings at all because of football. But I got it. I got a little one quiz question for you. Mm-hmm. Americans have won the PGA 9 straight times. Who was the last? Who was the last international player to win the PGA Championship?
Just a second here. Roy McIlroy.
He won it in 2014 at Valhalla, but 2015 was Jason Day at Whistling Straits.
Ah, yes.
Yes. Yeah. In the last 9, Brooks has won it 3 times, Justin Thomas twice, Xander, Phil, Morikawa, and Jimmy Walker have all won the PGA. And Jimmy Walker was in the hunt when Justin won it. Out of the blue, because Jimmy Walker's really done nothing since he won the PGA.
You know somebody who's done nothing that was in the hunt PGA in 2022 is Will Zalatoris.
No, you're right.
He broke his wrist, I think, the next year, and hadn't been the same.
No, he got runner up last year in some tournament. But you're right; it looked like he was going to be a superstar.
I mean, I'm trying to see where he is. 125-1 odds, but honestly, that's the same this week as Brian Harman, Davis Thompson, Keith Mitchell, Tom Kim, and Tony Finau.
Yeah.
And they're giving him better odds than Adam Scott.
And Harman, he won a tournament this year, and he's won a big one before. But, the PGA, if you've won a PGA in the past, you pretty much have an exemption into the PGA till you're 60 or 65. There's 13 former winners playing this year. Of course, Tiger is not one of them, and he hogged 4 of them. But goes back to guys like Sean McKeel.
Who is tied for the worst odds at 2,500-1. I'm looking at it right here.
Y.E. Yang, is he playing? Rich Beam, Mark Brooks. That's before your time, but he was a very average player.
Not seeing any of those guys here.
The 4 majors, that's not the one where – kids don't dream of being a PGA champ. They dream of being a Masters or the Open and some the U.S. Open. But it's really the strongest field of the year. You do have the 20 club pros, but
you remember good old Michael Block?
Yeah.
He's 2,000-1 tied with Vijay Singh.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that. He had that hole-in-1. That was the year Brooks won, right? 2 years ago?
Was that only 2 years? I think that was only 2 years ago. Yeah. We got top 10.
Yeah. But, PGA, as I listed those last 9 winners, with the exception of Walker, they're all studs.
Right. It's not like it used to be where, when I was growing up, it felt like the one major, a no-name could come out of the blue and win it. Sean McKeel, like you said, I know this guy went on to have a pretty good career by the time. David Toms, Rich Beam.
Y.E. Yang,
yeah. Well, yeah, he took down Tiger.
I was thinking.
Jason Duffner, even looking back on it, because he didn't really do anything.
It looked like he was going to be a stud. You remember he also lost a playoff to Keegan Bradley.
Yes, yes.
But I just wrote down a few of the great PGAs in the last 35 years. Yeah, John Daly obviously going to Crooked Stick as a 7th alternate, not even playing a practice round. Davis Love winning, and a rainbow comes across on the 18th hole because his dad was a PGA pro. The Koepka versus Woods at Bellevue a couple years ago. Yang, the only guy ever to beat Tiger head on. I mean, when Tiger was in the lead, Y.E. Yang's the only guy to get him on a Sunday.
I thought 2014 in Valhalla, when you had Rory, Phil, and Ricky, and Stinson, even though Stinson kind of flamed out early, those three are going at it till the very end.
Yeah, those are the big dogs in those days. One of the more famous duels was Woods versus Garcia when Sergio was like 19 Medina. Years old and hit that famous shot from behind the tree. It looked like
Medina,
that was
right?
Medina.
Medina, yeah.
It looked like that was going to be the big rivalry in golf. And then, Sergio had a very good career, but
is he even in the field?
Never a rivalry.
He's not in the field this week.
Sergio is in the field.
Yes, he is. 100-1. 100-1 odds with Siwoo Kim, David Puig, and Keegan Bradley, Captain America.
And actually, Sergio's been playing pretty well.
Playing really well. Yeah, that might not be a bad one for somebody to put some money on, even though I was told by a good friend of the podcast, Aaron Lynch, it's a bomber's course. Bombers are the only ones who can win it this week. So,
well, and although you brought up David Toms earlier, he won it 1 year. He had a 5-stroke lead going to 18 and took an 8 and won by 1. Ricky won. I wouldn't call him a bomber. He's won on that golf course, right?
Right. Back in 2012, the course was a little different back then.
Yeah.
Of course, yeah, Rory's won it on it 4 times.
I know. And Rory's the Rory and Scotty are the overwhelming favorites.
But Scotty's 9-2, Rory 5-1. Then Bryson is 3rd alone. And then you got a lot of ties.
Yeah. It is a big boy golf course. The first hole is 500 and some yard par 4.
You got Justin and Ludwig at 18-1. Morikawa and Rahm and Xander, defending champion, 20-1. Hideki Matsuyama, Joaquin Neenum, who's been playing really well.
Yeah.
And Patrick Cantlay, 33-1. Brooks, Tommy Fleetwood, Tyrrell Hatton, Victor Hovland, 40-1. Jordan Spieth trying to become yet another guy to win a career Grand Slam, 45-1. Cameron Smith, Sepp Straka, Shane Lowry, who's playing really well.
Yeah.
50-1. Your guy, Corey Connors, Jason Day, Patrick Reed, Russell Henley, Sungjae Im, all 66-1.
I had two guys I wrote down that have been playing really well this year, but haven't won anything. Well, I think one of them has. But I like the guy who plays the week before, has a real good tournament, didn't win. And that could obviously be Lowry or Thomas. But I think it might be time for Patrick Cantlay to get one. And the other guy I think could be right in the hunt is Tyrrell Hatton. He's been playing really well on the Live Tour. And obviously most of the listeners and stuff don't pay a lot of attention to the Live Tour. But those are two guys that are really good golfers that never won a major. So those are two guys I kind of had written down to keep an eye on. Obviously, I would love to see, I'm a Koepka guy, but he has not played well in the last three.
This is his tournament, though. He's won 3 of these. So
I know. And he had chances for a couple others. The one Phil won. And he was leading going in the last day when Morikawa won in the COVID year.
Where is Phil on this?
He's way down there.
I know, but
I mean, it's funny. Phil won the PGA just 4 years ago. It was Koepka and Louis Estes, and three of them on the Live Tour now.
He's at 250-1 with guys like Patrick Rogers, Seamus Power.
Yeah.
Ryan Garrard.
And I can see all those guys winning before I could Phil. I'm a Phil fan, but he's too old to compete in this stuff.
Ricky's at 150-1. He just came off his season best, tied for 15th, which could easily been a top 10, but oh well. So, and he's played well here in the past, but like if you go off driving, he's 70th in driving distance on tour, so I don't know if that can get it done.
Their last three holes, they call it something mile. They're all just beasts. A long par 3 over water on 17, and then 18 has this creek that runs all the way down the left. It just looks like it'll eat balls up all day.
Well, of course, I'll be rooting for Ricky. I'll be rooting for Bryson. I'll be rooting for a lot of the Live guys, to be honest, because I like a lot of them. But if my top favorites can't win, I'd like to see Justin Rose win.
Yeah.
For what he went through.
You didn't even read his name. He's at
90-1.
Yeah.
With Max Homa, Sam Burns, Maverick McNealy, and Batea.
And what in the world has – you said Sam Burns?
Max Homa.
Homa, what in the world? He's fallen off the map.
Yeah. Ever since he stopped doing those swing videos, we'd make fun of people's swings. He's went downhill.
He cannot be on that Ryder Cup team at this point.
No. Who are you picking?
Well, I gave you those two, but I'm not going to pick either one of them. I have a gut feeling that John Rahm, who, I'm not the biggest fan of him, but he's due for a breakout. And he's always in the hunt in these live events, which, like I said,
top 10 every single time he's played.
Yeah. And I would say live events have every bit as strong a field as a non, what do you call those eight events that?
They're the signatures.
Yeah. Events, I think. You know, the one that Scotty dominated 2 weeks ago in the Byron Nelson, I looked in there was only four guys in there that ever won a major championship. It was like, yeah. There was none of the big names other than Spieth, who's local. Right. And I would be shocked if Jordan won. He hasn't done anything in a while, but
watch out for Victor Hovland.
Yeah.
He's due for one, but I'm not picking him. I just said, watch out for him.
But right now, the four biggest names in the sport are Scheffler, McIlroy, DeChambeau, and Thomas, and all of them have won in the last month.
Yep, they're all top four odds for this in Ludwig. Yeah.
So they're really looking forward to this, but I don't think any of those four will win.
I'm going with Joaquin Niemann. Gets it done.
The one thing, he's not a high ball hitter. I don't know how important that is here. I know it is at Augusta. I think he got 16th at Augusta this year, but yeah, this year is set up for Rory. I mean, this is his turn.
Well, it's going to be scary if he gets it done.
Because what I still call the British Open or the Open, is in Northern Ireland where he's from. Shane Lowry won last time. So I think Rory, I would be not shocked, but I expect him to win one of the next three majors also.
Yeah,
this is going to be his monster year.
Yep,
in my opinion.
Yep. Watch out for Hideki Matsuyama too. I like the way he's been playing.
So. He's a stud.
Yep. Mitch Melton says he's calling Eric Lee at 25 under.
Yeah, if I putt well, Mitch, you know, it might only be 21-22 if I don't putt well. Those 215 yard drives I hit would work.
Yeah, I was gonna say great on the bomber course, perfect for you, especially if it's wet with your high ball. No problem.
Get a yard and half a roll. Yeah,
just whip out the seven iron hybrid, baby, and
it'd be a driver wedge course for me. But unfortunately, I'd have to have the 3 wood in between them.
good stuff. But I did bring a blind ranking with me this week, and it is PGA Championship related.
Okay.
So I got, let me get this up here. I got five champions in the last 15 years.
Okay.
And you can rank them how you think their overall career.
Overall career, okay.
Starting with Padraig Harrington, who won in 08 at Oakland Hills.
Yeah, he's won three majors. He's a dynamo on the senior tour. I think you're going to have some studs in here, so I'm putting him fourth.
Fourth, okay. All right. Keegan Bradley, who won at 2011 Atlanta Athletic Club.
Keegan's had a nice career. Nothing's unbelievable. He's kind of the Matt Kuchar of this generation, you know, just wins one every other year. I'm going to say he's fifth.
All right. Brooks Koepka, three-time winner, 2018, 19, and 23 at Belrive, Bethpage Black, and Oak Hill.
And he's got two U.S. Opens, and he literally could have had, like we talked, his two PGAs and a couple other U.S. Opens. He's all-time leading winner on LIV, but he didn't really win other tournaments when he's on PGA. I'm going to say he's second.
Okay. All right. Jason Day, 2015 Whistling Straits.
And he was number one in the world for a while. Well, I'm just going to put him third, thinking you might have a big shot here, number one.
I think, I mean, it's a good player, but I think you'd like a redo. Justin Thomas, 2017, 2022, yeah. Quail Hollow and Southern Hills.
Well, I think obviously I have to put him at one, yeah. But I would go redo Brooks. It. I'd go Brooks one. I'd probably put Justin two, Padraig three, Keegan fifth, and Jason fourth.
Yep. I think that's where I would go as well. So, yeah, good job with that list, I think. So
I thought you had Rory coming in, maybe.
I thought about Rory, but Phil, like, I mean, who's going to be over Phil besides Tiger? And, you know, so.
That's, some people like Brandon Chamblee would put Rory up there.
Yeah, well, yeah. But that is the Blind Ranking segment brought to you by Performer Print Shoe Promo Group. If you're looking for a trustworthy, dependable resource for your next trade show, company picnic, or sales meeting, Performer Print Shoe Promo Group has over 50 years combined experience in promotional products and commercial print. They strive for fast and efficient response to all your print needs, so you need to look no further. Let them be your one-source print and promotional company today by giving them a call at 574-210-3815. Giving Barbara Van Weinsberg a call, I should say. Not that. So, real quick, before we go over the birdie or bogey, you have any thoughts on the MLB season so far?
Well, I looked at some stats today, and I could not believe the year Aaron Judge is having. He leads the league in hits, RBIs, home runs, batting average by a mile, and I believe he's second in baseball in runs scored.
He's a good player.
So he's scoring them, and he's knocking them in. And he's hitting for average. His on-base percentage is almost – it's 490-something. So he's on base half the times he's up. As much as I like Ohtani, I think Aaron Judge is – because Ohtani's not pitching, Aaron Judge is the best player in baseball right now.
Look where he plays, and it doesn't faze him.
Yeah.
Like with the media world. And the Yankees are winning the East by two games over the Red Sox with a 23-17 record. Red Sox are 22-20. Blue Jays are 20-20. Rays are 18-22. And the Orioles are 15-24. They're one of the more disappointing teams in the league.
Yeah.
American League Central, Tigers playing really good baseball, 26-15. So are the Guardians, who are 23-17. Royals, 24-18. Twins, 21-20. So you got four teams there with winning records. Then the White Sox at 12-29.
But what do still, you think?
That's better than I thought they'd be at this point.
What would be the attendance at a neutral field? Let's say Victory Field in Indianapolis if the White Sox played the Rockies.
1,000 people. Buy one, get one free.
Yeah.
I'll get to the Rockies here just in a second. The Mariners are winning the West with a record 22-17, but the Astros are right behind them at 20-19. A's 21-20. Rangers 20-21. The Angels 16-23. Poor Mike Trout. He just never.
He's been on the disabled list, which he is all the time, but he's about to get off.
Yeah. Mets are winning the NL East 26-15. Phillies are at 24-16. Braves 19-21. Nationals 17-24. Marlins 15-24. Cubs have a one-game lead over the red-hot St. Louis Cardinals, 23-18. Cardinals are 22-19. Brewers 20-21. Reds 20-22. Pirates 14-27. And the NL West, the Dodgers have a 27-14 record. Really good division here. Padres are right behind them at 25-14. Giants 24-17. Diamondbacks 21-20, and the manager list, since they fired Bud Black yesterday like it's his fault, 7-33 Colorado Rockies, on pace to be the worst team in MLB history.
Well, didn't Colorado give Bud Black the "you're doing fine" on Saturday, and then they lost 21-0, they fired him on Sunday, or basically?
He's probably relieved to be done.
He gets paid.
Yep, he's been there for like 8 or 9 years. He's probably relieved to get done. And it's funny, there was a graphic today that came out. It was fake, of course. It says Colorado Rockies emergency open tryouts. We're running out of options. Record 6-33. This was before the win yesterday. Last game, lost 21-0. Think you can help? Able to throw a baseball at least 45 miles per hour? Not afraid of Coors Field altitude? Emotionally prepared for back-to-back losses? Familiar with the basic rules of baseball? You might be our next starting shortstop or center fielder or manager or mascot. Honestly, we're open to anything.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a shame.
Horrendous. They're horrendous. They they've made the playoffs, I think, 4 times in their history. They've made one World Series. They've never won the NL West. Never.
Well, they're on a different planet than the Dodgers. And now the Padres and Giants. I mean, that's just a not a good place to stink. And be
I wonder if the MLB could go back in time in the early 90s. I wonder if they would put a team in Colorado or not.
Yeah.
I honestly don't know. So, all right, birdie or bogey time. Like I said, there's been 5 international guys who have won multiple PGA championships, but Jim Barnes, I'm taking out of the equation because that was 1916 and 1919. So there's been 4 guys since 1960 to do it. Name those 4 guys.
All right, Rory.
Rory McIlroy, 2012 and 2014.
Gary Player.
Gary Player in 1962, 1972.
Nick Price.
Nick Price in 1992 and 1994. That leaves you with one guy.
VJ.
VJ Singh, 1998, 2004. You get a birdie, Dad. Well done. Well done.
There's not many birdies on this show, so.
I'm glad you didn't guess Aaron Judge. Thanks, Dad, for joining me. It was a lot of fun. The hour flew by, and we'll see you next time. And thank you, everybody, for listening and watching. And Josh should be back next week, and we'll be at the same time, same channel, and all that good stuff. Have a great week, everybody.